Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is none other than Dr. Tracy Nichols with True Unity Outreach International Ministries here, located in Douglasville, Georgia, where the elect lady is Dr. Janita Nichols. Before I go into anything, I want to come to you in prayer, and I want to be able to come to you direct. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you right now for all that you have done. I pray right now, Father God, that your will is done today. I decrease as you increase, God. Speak through me. Speak for me under the unction of the Holy Ghost. God, I pray, God, that whatever I have done, whatever I have spoken, God, that is not pleasing in your eyes, God, I repent right now before I come asking for anything, Lord, the known and the unknown, God. God, I pray right now, Father God, that you take the wheel today, Father God, in reference to speaking your word, Lord. Allow your word to be spoken, God, only what you have for us to speak today, God, and allow your viewers and allow your listeners, God, to be able, Lord, to receive what thus saith the Lord. God, I pray for our nation, God. I pray for our families, Lord. I pray for my family, God. I pray, God, that we continue, Lord, to do what you have called us to do, God, and what you have ordained for us to do. God, I thank you right now, Lord, for all of the many blessings that you have already bestowed upon us, God. And we thank you, God, and we'll be so careful to give your name all of the glory and all of the praise due unto you, Lord. Lord, we know, Lord, that you have everything under control, Lord, regardless of what others are saying, regardless of what others are speaking, Lord. We believe by faith, God, that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and that are the called according to your purpose, God. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all marriages right now. We pray for all marriages, God. We pray, Lord, that they line up with your principles, God, and not the world's principles. God, we pray right now, we declare right now, God, that every marriage under the sounds of my voice, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, God, that every marriage, God, will be restored as of today, right now, God, regardless of what has happened in the past, God. And also every family member, line up right now with the principles of what God says about his families. And we pray, God, that love is there, Father God. We pray that peace and unity and harmony is there, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, and we give your name all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise due unto you. And as I close this prayer, but never my life to you, God, I ask right now, Lord, that it is accepted, God, in the spirit in which it was given. And I thank you right now, and I give your name all of the glory. And let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And it is so. In Jesus' name we pray this prayer without a speck of doubt. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a day of glory divine, heir of salvation. I've been purchased by God, born of his spirit, and I'm just washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. The day long, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior, praising my Savior, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen, amen, amen. Go with me to the book of Galatians. Go with me to the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 16 through 22. Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 16 through 22. Once again, Galatians, the fifth chapter, verses 16, excuse me, through 22. And I'll be reading from the NIV. And it reads as follows. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, decisions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Again, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, if I had to title this one, I'm going with the self-control one. That's my daughter Tamala said, Dad, I think you should preach about self-control instead of the other one that you were going to preach. So, do you have complete self-control? Do you have complete self-control? Do you have complete self-control? Now, in life, we all, including myself, may struggle with this particular gift because it is called self-control, or if you want to call it, temperance. Now, although that this gift is not impossible to obtain, but guess what? If you're honest with yourself, you don't have to be honest with anybody else, but if you're honest with yourself, it will and it does take a lot of work. Anybody who's practicing self-control, it takes a lot of work. But guess what? The work that it takes is mainly, it's a part of your life. It's a part of you, meaning that not to allow people, or things rather, to push you out of control of your actions. Stop letting people push you out of control of your actions. Because you know what? You can't allow your emotions to control you, point blank. You cannot allow your emotions to control you, point blank. But you must control them. Now, if God has given you this gift of self-control and temperance, then it can be developed through the Holy Spirit that lives in every Christian, every believer, every disciple. You have the ability to have self-control, but you choose to remain out of control. Amen. You choose to remain out of control because you don't want to have self-control. The Bible declares that he who angers you controls you. And I see exactly what it means even right here. You get up in the morning and you're still angry with someone who have made you mad, or you have allowed to make you mad, or to get you to that point that happened last week, and you still waking up this week with that same foolish mentality. Amen. With that same foolish mentality. But let me let you in on a secret. The moment that you lose control of who you are, and the moment that you lose control of what God has told you to become, then you have just forfeited your entire life to others who will continue to control you. That's why it is imperative that you get self-control in order. In other words, stop allowing your emotions to drive you every single day. Stop allowing your emotions to get you all bent out of shape, get you in on a temper tantrum, and then also it gets you to a point where it ruins your day when you don't have self-control. When you rise in the morning, declare your day. Declare your day. Wake up in the morning with a purpose to serve God and to serve others. Wake up with a purpose to do God's will and not your own. Wake up and ask God, what is my assignment for the day, for today? Who am I to pour into today? What am I to say? How am I to say it? And where am I to go? Order my steps, God. When you ask God those questions, then he gives you your answer. And you won't have time to worry about what someone did to you yesterday or the week before. Some of you all are still holding on to foolishness that has happened about 20, 30 years ago. Get over it. For God's sake, get over it. And get over yourself and begin to have self-control. Nobody likes to be around a person that doesn't have self-control. Nobody is irritating. It's frustrating. And, by Frank, to be honest, it's draining. It is absolutely draining. Because you have self-control, and you're trying to teach them self-control because they still want to be out of control. Sometimes you just got to leave people out of control and let God deal with them. And if they do something real crazy, then let the Lord deal with them. Amen. It is what it is. It is what it is. Now I'm going to give you 5 points about self-control and how important and vital it is for you to have self-control and the benefits of you having self-control. The benefits of you having self-control. Again, I'm going to give you 5 points, and I'm out of your way. Self-control, number one, self-control helps develop strong Christian character in you. And it's not just to the Christians. Self-control helps develop strong Christian character or character, period. Self-control helps develop strong Christian character or character, period, in everybody. Now, let me give you an example of what self-control does for me. Now, back in the day, now this would probably shock some of you, and some of you have lived with me through the years and know how I used to be. Now, back in the day, I didn't practice self-control at all. Like now when people say certain things, I don't immediately pop off like I used to. I don't immediately go and grab people by the neck and try to choke them out. Because I have chosen over the years to remain in God and also to have self-control. I can't go out here choking people out, beating people down, because they verbally said something to me and they didn't even touch me. Now, back in the day, you said something, I got you right then and there on the spot. I wasn't practicing no self-control. And let me just be real. See, I'm the type of pastor where I can just keep it 100 with you and tell you the truth. And I don't need any accolades from anyone to say, oh, wow, you one of the first pastors to tell the truth. No, it's a lot of pastors that tell the truth. And it's a lot just sit up and just tell you a lie like they have always had it together. But I haven't always had it together. That's why I'm so passionate about teaching others about controlling their anger, controlling and having self-control of themselves. I'm very, very passionate about that. Because, see, when God delivered me from that, it was for me to help others be delivered as well. Amen. It was for me to help others be delivered. See, I went through it so you wouldn't have to. There are a lot of things in life that people have gone through already that you necessarily don't have to go through. Now, you can choose to go through it if you want to, but it's not required. That's something that you're choosing to do. Again, that's something you're choosing to do. Because, see, when self-control helps develop strong character in a person, you begin to look at them a total different way. You also begin to look at them as someone who merely have made a choice instead of allowing others to make a choice for them. In other words, it causes an individual to do a self-evaluation, and it causes an individual to also do a self-assessment of a situation too. Is this situation even worth me wasting my energy on, wasting my conversation on, wasting my valuable time on? There are certain things that you just look at a person when they're talking crazy. You just look at them, smile, and keep moving. Because they don't control you like you are supposed to control you. So it also, self-control helps you develop character. Now, point number two, self-control helps you identify discipline in your own life as a Christian. Self-control helps you identify discipline in your own life as a Christian. One more time. Self-control helps you identify discipline in your own life as a Christian. Meaning, real simple, when you can identify that you need discipline, others won't have to do it for you. Amen. When you identify that you need discipline, then others won't have to identify it for you. Because you have identified that you need discipline in certain areas of your life. There are some of you that probably need self-discipline on time management, with how much time you spend with God, how much time you spend with others, how much time you do things for other people besides just yourself. You need discipline, self-discipline in how much you eat, how much you spend, how often you need to go to the gym, how often you need to walk through the week, how often you need to eat certain foods and how often you don't need to eat certain foods. There's an array of things that we all need to discipline ourselves on. I'll be the first to give my example of discipline. I need to discipline myself from being on the phone so much with other people draining the daylights out of me about the same situation. What I've decided is when you call me, and we've already discussed an issue, I'm going to say, refer back to conversation one. And if you call me the third time, I'm going to say, refer back to conversation one. Because conversation one is the same I will be repeating to you in conversation two and three. And I'm not about to do that. So sometimes you have to discipline yourself, pastors, because we are not people's gods. And that's something that I had to learn, running every time someone called me, getting up in the middle of the night, running to people's rescues. And it really is not, wasn't even a rescue. But you need prayer. But see, that was before I got the maturity that I have now as a pastor. Because my prayers are not going to be any more powerful than yours. Amen. You've been taught how to pray, then pray. Because there's nothing that I say that is going to be different than what you say to God. Now, we can touch and agree over the phone, but I don't have to necessarily be there. Take notes, pastors, take notes. And understand, just because a person calls you, don't mean you got to jump and run. Because at the end of the day, you are not their God. And sometimes God puts people in certain situations to help discipline them. But yet, sometimes we as pastors, we try to run and grab it. But don't grab something that God didn't tell you to grab. And don't do something that God didn't tell you to do. So self-discipline. So self-control also gives you discipline in your life. Point number three, self-control helps you internalize true discipline as a Christian. Self-control helps you internalize true discipline as a Christian. Again, self-control helps you internalize true discipline as a Christian. Now, sometimes you have to internalize certain things, and sometimes you can't just, you know, external everything that comes out your brain. In other words, you can't just speak every time you're feeling something. You got to internalize that thing, and you got to be able to ask questions. You know, we teach our clients in anger management, TFA and not the AFT. We teach that you think, you feel, then you act. But you don't act and then feel sorry later and then think about what you should have done. So you do the TFA. You think, you feel the thing out, then you act it out accordingly. But you do all of that internally. Internally. Point number four, self-control will help children be obedient to parents unconditionally. Self-control will help children be obedient to parents unconditionally. Self-control will help children be obedient to parents unconditionally. So in other words, don't let your kids run up and tell you, I'll fix my bed if you give me a dollar. No, you would take your behind in there, fix your bed because I just told you so. See, we need more parents back in the households, because right now we got too many friends out here. You let kids talk to you any kind of way, because why? You don't have self-discipline yourself to be able to tell your children no. Every time you turn around, your kids say something, you just got to say yes. You offering them things that they don't even really need. You buying things that they don't necessarily need, all because you want to be the friend. Wake up and be the parent that God called you to be. You need self-discipline in that area right there. The only reason that some of these children are being disobedient is because they see the parents being disobedient as far as being a parent. Oh, it's tight, but it's right. Amen. I say it myself. Amen. Because sometimes, as a parent, you got to do some rough things with your children that you don't like and they may hate. But you know what? In the end, you will save them from an early grave. You will save them from the judicial system. You will save them from jail, an early grave, all of those things. I don't get caught up, my wife and I, we don't get caught up in our children's emotions and their feelings. Because you know what we say? Shut it down. Because we're not about that business. Shut it down. Completely. See, that's what self-discipline does for us in our household. Our children don't run the house. And when they get to a point where they feel that they can run our house, or if your children get to a point where they feel that they can run your house, it's time to open the door and say, go and run your own. Amen. Especially if they are of age. Self-discipline is what we need to teach our children. Self-control. It's what we need to teach our children, because our children are going to be just as obedient as we have taught them. And when they get disobedient, that's when you began to be a real parent and put that butt in check, period. You got to stop acting like y'all scared of your kids and talk about, well, the police don't want me to whoop them, well, whatever. You your own police. You your own judge. You your own attorney, your own defects. You pay the cost to be the boss. You pay the cost to be the boss. So have enough self-control that you can teach your children how to be obedient to you and to be respectable. And to be respectful, rather. Number five, last point. Self-control helps you take responsibility and accountability of your own actions. Self-control helps you take responsibility and accountability of your own actions. Self-control helps you take responsibility and accountability of your own actions. In other words, stop saying someone made you slap them. Stop saying someone made you punch them in the face. Stop saying someone made you slam them to the concrete. Stop saying someone made you bust their head to the white meat. You did that because you chose to. You chose to do that. You chose that action. Because why? You were what? Out of control. And you what? Didn't have self-control. When you have self-control, you can learn to take responsibilities and say, you know what? I apologize for what I said. I apologize for what I did. And I take full responsibility, and I'm accountable for my actions, not you. I'm accountable. I slapped you because I wanted to. I'm accountable for that. I'm responsible for any repercussions behind that. I'm responsible. I'm responsible for that. Amen? I'm responsible for that. So, again, do you have complete self-control? Self-control causes you to remain in control of your emotions and to remain in control of your feelings. You can't, and I do repeat, you can't go in this world any longer out of control. You need to be in self-control mode at all times. This is Dr. Nichols signing off. You can contact us at www.trueunityoutreach.com or 678-886-0999, 678-886-0999. And we do have services on Sunday mornings starting at 9 o'clock and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. at 5300 Brickleberry Way, Suite 103. Again, 5300 Brickleberry Way, Suite 103. Order my book, please. Order my book. You will be a blessing to so many when you do. You can order on www.trueunityoutreach.com. An inspirational seed for the soul. Thank you so much. God bless.